In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning. Beloved in Christ, always it's good to be here in this holy community and to be praying with you, to pray with you, to visit with all of you, and to give thanks and glory to God. I greet our beloved clergy who are with us today. Of course, Father Wayne, the pastor of this holy community, Father Michael. And with us today is Father Nicholas or Nikolai Cheko, the pastor, the dean of St. Stephen Church, the Serbian church in Alhambra. And many deacons with us today, they came to say axios to the newly ordained to the holy diaconate, Deacon John, or will be Deacon John. So Father Nikolai Cheko is the dean of St. Stephen Church in Alhambra, as I said, and where Deacon John, or the candidate for the diaconate, where he is working as a secretary. And he is loved there. Our brothers in the Serbian church love him, respect him, appreciate what he is doing. And at the same time, he is, you know him, he is a gentle person and easy to love and easy to be embraced. You know, before I go ahead with my homily, let me explain to you why he is there. Is he punished? Of course not. Of course not. He is ready to carry the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is ready to be committed. He is ready to devote himself, or devote himself and devote himself at the same time. And he is ready to be your servant. You know, many times you heard me say that we don't need princes and we don't need big shots in the church because we have one VIP, that is the Prince of all, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. So the bishop is our servant, is the people's servant, the priest the same, and the deacon the same. Many clergy do not understand that. You know, some clergy, and this is not a criticism, but this is just like a sample of how we see things. I go into some office. My office is very humble. And my office is not a place. My office is where I do my ministry. I do it in the plane, on the plane. I do it on the road. We eat most of the time where we eat in the car. So we don't have a luxury life. And it should not be luxurious. It should not be like that. A bishop, a priest, a deacon, if any one of them has no spirit of diaconia, we don't need him. Is it clear? We don't need him. Our Lord Jesus Christ came and he set a beautiful example, a very profound example, when he said, you know, Peter was rejecting him. Lord, you can't wash my feet. And the answer was profound. If you don't let me wash your feet, you will never, you know, participate. You will never get anything with me. So that's why, you know, like Peter shut up after that. So Jesus had the disciples and he washed their feet. This is the expression of love. We need clergy to lead by example. We need clergy to love their people. We need clergy to dedicate all their lives for the ministry. Now someone looks for money, someone looks for power, someone looks for a big, you know, like recognition. Those who are doing that, they will miss the kingdom of heaven. They will miss that. So that's why the deacon now, John, who's gonna be a deacon, when I cover him, said, first of all, he washed my hands the first time. And you will see, he will do it again. Because what we do in the middle of the divine liturgy, we don't do it every day as an ordination, because ordination, you know, like it happens once in a while. So when he did the first wash, so it means that he is ready to serve. And now I covered his head with the cloth. I wiped my hands. So it means that he doesn't have to look back. The promise he made makes him not to look bad, not to look back anymore. He doesn't see what's happening, you know, like behind him. His focus is on the icon, on the master. So when I put the cloth on him, on his head, I said to him, go to the icon. Remember that you are one of the sinners. Say the creed. Say the prayer. Pray for your salvation, for your family's salvation, for your bishop's salvation, for all the clergy salvation. So by doing this, beloved in Christ, by doing this, his focus on the master. So the master has to speak through him. He doesn't have to see the weaknesses of the people. He has to serve them the way they are. He has to embrace them the way they are. And God, the only judge, not me, not him, not any other clergy, only God judges us. You know, when we have, I said weaknesses, when we have some weaknesses in the church, in this home, in this family, in this individual, we don't have to embarrass that person. We don't have to criticize him. We don't have to undermine him. We have to give him or her encouragement to overcome that. We have to lead that person from a weakness attitude, a weakness person, a weakness personality, let's say, into the trust in the Lord. We have to put all our trust in God, and our strength comes from there. God will lead us, God will love us, God will forgive us. Only human beings judge, only human beings criticize, only human beings undermine each other. But God will never do that. Today, the last word of this passage, beautiful. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So he came for this ministry. He came to express his love for every one of us. Whether we are bad people, good people, this kind of people, that kind of people, God, you know, knows. So that's why we call him our Father. He is the Father. The priest is the Father. Why? Because he is God's reflection, God's icon. So that's why he has to act the same. The bishop is the same. The deacon is the same. The father at home is the same. The mother at home is the same. So that's why the diaconate in the church is very, extremely important. And it is not a new invention, beloved in Christ. This office, this rank of the holy diaconate is from the time of the apostles. Timothy, before he became a bishop, he was a deacon. Myself, you know, like me as a bishop now, so I started my ministry with a deacon. As a deacon. I was a very young man when they made me a deacon. So the diaconate is from the time of the apostles. We remember from the time in the book of Acts, we read about Stephen, the archdeacon. You know, one day in their conference, the deacons in Northern California, and I was unable to be with them, I sent them a message to reflect and to discuss and to help them understand more and more about their diaconate. I remember that I wrote a few lines that a bishop doesn't kiss a priest's hand or a deacon's hand. But when we have the icon of Saint Stephen or the icon of any of the deacons, we bow and we kiss even their feet. Not because of their office, but because of the way they were, the way they are, because of their holiness, because of their piety, because of their, you know, like sanctity. So that's why every one of us, lay people and ordained people, regardless the office, every one of us is called to be that holy person. So today I say these words to all of us, to all of you, but especially and in particular to the candidate deacon to the diaconate, John, to remember to make these words echoing in his ears. You know, like the deacon, we cannot judge a deacon by his beautiful voice, but by the way he is leading people, by the way he is serving people, by the way he is loving people, by the way he is emptying and humbling
himself before God and before the people. Saint Athanasius the Great, when he was a deacon in the first ecumenical council, he was the star. He was the star of the first ecumenical council. He defended orthodoxy. He silenced everyone who was in that meeting, in that council, because of his theology, because of his eloquency, because of his profound teaching. So we cannot say, you know, like, you are a deacon, we cannot, you know, like, your voice is not heard. No. We respect our deacons. You have many of them here. We have deacons everywhere. We have clergy everywhere. Priests, deacons, bishops. We respect all these people because they are the icons of God. Now, if someone has no people's respect, it's his problem. It is his problem. He will be judged. He will be condemned and judged by God himself. You know, Judas was one of the 12, but he made the choice. And he went astray. He was gone astray. He made the choice. No one forced him to do that. So God never excluded him from the Last Supper. He washed his feet. He gave him communion. He did everything, you know, what he did to other disciples. But he made the choice. And he called the priceless one. So in a few minutes from now, you will see the ordination. And I'm sure you have seen a number of ordinations in this holy community. But some newcomers, some new visitors, some newly embraced the faith, so maybe they never have seen an ordination. So the ordination means in Greek the laying hand on someone, putting my hand, and that only the bishop does that. Only the bishop can ordain people. But the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, the same Holy Spirit who descends into the water too, when the time of the baptism, the time of chrismation, the time of wedding, the time of the same Spirit, you know, comes down into the person who is ready for ordination and bless him and make him. So the bishop is a tool. The bishop is a tool. But the Holy Spirit himself who does the ordination and who gives the blessings for someone. You know, it's not a show. This worship, this prayer, this divine liturgy is not a show. Everyone takes from the divine liturgy the way how prepared he is. So some of us, you know, take the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Some of us take little, according to each one's ability, according to each one's gift. But we are called all to salvation. Beloved in Christ, as Simeon, the elder embraced Jesus in his arms, any one of us, especially the ordained people, we have to embrace Jesus not only in our arms but also in our mind, in our heart, in our whole being. Yesterday was the feast of meeting the Lord. Means what? To embrace God. And He becomes in us and we become in Him. Today we have seen another figure, Zacchaeus. So he ran, we say, you know, like because he was eager to see Jesus. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know, when we receive communion, be careful, beloved in Christ. I beg you to be careful that communion is not for fun. Communion, we take it for two reasons. The first one, for salvation. The second one is for condemnation. Let us be prepared. Let us be ready for receiving communion. Let us repent. Let us repent. Let us change. Let us improve our Christian life in order the Holy Communion to make a big difference in our life. To renew us. To make us grow spiritually and in piety. So that's why we fast seriously. We fast seriously. We go for confession seriously. You know, the way we take communion these days in the churches in general, not only here, it's sad the way we see 8 chalices in some churches, and people in the line to the communion, they keep talking. They don't pay attention at all to the chalice. You know, how can we fathom, how can we understand that this communion will heal us if we are not paying enough attention? So this is our job. This is our ministry. A deacon has a big role in the church. A big responsibility in the church. A deacon has to be prepared. Look what St. Paul says to Timothy today. "My son Timothy, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe," "command and teach these things." A deacon has a big responsibility, a big ministry to teach. "Let no one despise your youth. You are young." But he has to teach the elders. He has to teach, you know, like older people than him. "Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and in conduct." Not only in words, but also the way you act. "In love, in faith, in purity. These are big things. And you know what? The way we rejoice and we have a lot of joy when we have an ordination, the same bishop, you know, can laicize ordained people. We laicize clergy when they are not worthy anymore, when they commit something, you know, like shameful. We laicize and we suspend and we depose. Accept the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, until I come. Until I come. Attend to the public reading of scripture. So where do we get our wisdom from? If not from the scripture. To preaching, to teaching, do not neglect the gift you have. He is receiving a gift from God, as I said, from the Holy Spirit, which was given you by prophetic utterance when the council of elders laid their hands upon you. Practice these duties. Practice these things. John, practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. It's a very serious matter. You know, I'm not ordaining this man just like because I like him or because, you know, like he is serving me in some way. No, I'm preparing him for the kingdom of God. I am what I am giving him today. I say it to the same to his wife and to the children. What's the point if a deacon or a priest who is married cannot save himself and his family? How can he save others then? So that's why St. Paul in many places says, you know, like a priest living in a chaotic life in home cannot lead a church. How can he lead a church? So first thing has to keep his home in order. How? How? You know the scripture heals us. The scripture leads us. The scripture gives us all the wisdom we need. So that's why reading the scripture daily is one of the most important. You know, the church is not a country club, beloved in Christ. You strengthen my faith and I do the same. We pray in the church. I pray for you. You pray for me. You pray for the clergy. The clergy pray for you. So it's two ways. Tell you something. Believe me, even in my diocese, even in my diocese, I go to some churches. Now the blame may be on me. But I said, you know, like two ways. I cannot change people, you know, by a remote control or because I desire that. So I do everything I can to change people's heart. But sometimes I go to a church, Jesus is not there. Jesus is not there. God is not there. The presence of God is not there. Like a country club, you know. You call it anything you like, but you cannot call it a church. We have to do everything we can, beloved in Christ. When we meet, every time we meet in the church, when God is calling us to a gathering like this, this is a great opportunity. You know, this feast yesterday, February 2nd, in many languages we call it the entry or the entrance of the Lord to the altar, right? No, this is not the true name we use. The meeting of the Lord. A meeting of the Lord is the right name we use for yesterday's feast. Meeting the Lord. In the worship we meet God. We visit with God and He visits with us. We are a family. We call Him our Father. He calls us His children. This is a healthy church. This is a healthy church. This is a right church. And depends on clergy. So I finish with this, that this ordination will be like a path, a way for John and his family to be saved. For them to keep the sanctity of the ordination and to use it to inspire people, to lead people, to teach people by example, not only by words. So may this moment, being together on one hand and for the ordination on the other hand, may this moment be for all of us to be inspired, all of us to be touched, and all of us to be moved. Beloved in Christ, we need an army of soldiers in the church, an army of clergy. Everyone feels himself that he is ready. God is calling him most welcome. The church is for everyone. Salvation, the kingdom of God is for everyone. All of us, you know, we are called. And we, when we see, and in my ministry, when I go from one church to another, so I say, you know, like I point on some person that he will be a good leader. Sometimes when children greet me, I say, you know, like this man, this little one, could be a bishop. This is a prophecy. This is a wish. But one has to be called by God Himself. And, you know, we don't ordain without education. No matter how many degrees you have in business, in finance, in this or in politics or in this or in that, but still you have to have a church education. So we insist that someone who is called by God, and everyone is called by God, so we ask him to go to St. Stephen course, to seminary, to the house of studies, and to this university or that. Some people, you know, like are preparing for doctorate. Some people are unable to prepare for the doctorate. So everyone, we talk to him the way, you know, like his gifts are. So John, I know very well that he will be a good deacon, and he will never fail the church and fail the Holy Spirit who is calling him to the holy office of the diaconate, and he will never ever fail his bishop as well. May God hear our prayers for him and for the salvation of his family. And may everyone, you know, be inspired, as I said, and sanctified by this diaconate.